You're listening to the Curt Schilling Podcast. Once again, here's Curt Schilling.
Joining me now is a gentleman that was a worked in the Pentagon before, and it was, I don't want to say in this situation, because I don't want to compare him to the guy, the coward that has done what he's done, but this is a gentleman who put his name to something truthful, something that that mattered, that changed, and paid the price for it. He is Rich Higgins. Good morning, Rich. How are you doing, buddy?
Hey, Curt. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm done being surprised and stunned at what I hear from my elected officials, I'm realizing that there is a huge movement afoot for the simple fact, no legal basis behind it. It's just the fact that they can't accept that they lost the election, and I'm watching it play out in real time, and it really is stunning. But I appreciate you taking the time, and I wanted you to talk about your situation. You wrote a memo, and it was a lengthy memo from the inside, and it basically pointed out things that, and I got to tell you, I was friends with somebody that was about as close with the president as you can be when he was participating in the administration. And when I asked him after he left about H.R. McMaster, I said, can you tell me, give me one word that would help me define H.R. McMaster? And he said, evil. And that was all I needed to hear. That was, honest to God, it was all I needed to hear. But talk about your situation and what happened.
In a nutshell, you know, I had supported the president in his campaign as one of his counterterrorism advisors. And around about April of 2017, I was brought into the administration to work in the Strategic Planning Office of the National Security Council. And it was apparent, you know, during the transition, it really began that the establishment, and when I say the establishment, I mean, we're talking the Democrats and the Republican establishment,
yep,
did not want this man to become the president. And we see how far the FBI was willing to carry that now, where they're executing basically, you know, they literally attempted a coup. I mean, these latest text messages that are going to come out, and, you know, yesterday Jim Jordan and Mark Meadows were talking about it, and they're doing the political thing and saying, well, you know, what happened here, you know, in the surprise? Well, what happened here is these guys, the insurance policy that Strzok was talking about was a coup.
Right.
You know, in national security speak, you know, this would cause all sorts of buttons to light up and forces
by
to
definition,
deploy if this was happening in a foreign country.
This,
right. So
not, yeah,
going
right.
back to right, going back to the White House period, you know, you'd go into meetings in there and at the NSC, and you know, there'd be 10, 20, 30 people in these meetings. And there were two or three Trump supporters, and Trump supporters were outnumbered by Obama holdovers, some of whom had literally burrowed in, they call it, on January
9th. I don't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but let me ask you. I was wondering about that. Why was it so hard for him to clean house and get the cockroaches out? Why was he, and why were you so outnumbered by Obama holdovers that he didn't just make his own team? Because it seems to me that if you don't do the job completely, it doesn't matter who you replace, because there's always going to be a bad seed.
I think there was look, we need to remember a couple things. Number one is they need to get General Flynn out of there as early as possible, because he would have figured out what the FBI was up to. Number two, and I don't know this for a fact, we need to find out who put McMaster in place. Number three, we know that McMaster was talking with McCabe. He was talking with perhaps Strzok. We know he was talking with other persons in the Defense Department. The full scope of this investigation has not begun yet. It definitely requires its own special counsel. It's unprecedented in American history. And I'm sitting in the National Security Council watching these events unfold around me. So this memo, and it's important to note, I did not write this memo for public consumption. This was written to be shared with some of the folks, the money folks, really, who had helped get the president elected. And, you know, for whatever reason, it may or may not have been read by the president. Somehow it ended up on McMaster's desk. And, you know, in the memo, I very pointedly, you know, articulate that, you know, if you're in the quote unquote deep state, i.e. a government bureaucrat like the National Security Advisor and a serving general officer, you can't be participating in things like this. And I address the fact that there are Title 18 legal concerns that come into play here. I mean, he's the commander in chief. You don't get to subvert him. you follow his lawful orders, right? You execute his commander's intent. And what we see, you know, both in the behavior of, you know, H.R. McMaster, but across the bureaucracy and the institutions, there are a lot of folks who don't support him. Now, not supporting the president, okay, I wasn't a big supporter of Obama, but I followed the orders that he gave us, right? May have opposed them publicly, but I executed them, you know, in the performance of my duties. And I think that's what I see happening right now that's just beyond the pale for me, is that we now see the institutional bureaucracy becoming hyper-politicized in opposition to the president. And, you know, why those people were allowed to remain in place, you know, in defense of the president, he's a businessman, right? He needed to do some of these things, and his reliance upon the establishment to help him was perhaps his Achilles heel, right? I think Steve Bannon said it best in a 60 Minutes interview. You know, the original sin of the administration was to believe that the establishment was going to help them do with the president's mandate and, you know, what he was elected to do. And I think, you know, getting that picture, you know, put in front of me inside the White House, this memo just kind of bubbled out. And, you know, once it leaked, you know, by the time it actually leaked, I had already been removed. I wasn't removed because the memo was leaked. So it's a little bit different from this anonymous coward who's leaking this stuff. And I think she'll be outed here pretty soon. I have a pretty good idea who it is. You know, and again, we're going to find out it's a known commodity. And, you know, who was identified early on as oppositional to the president. But, you know, we've reached a point now in the institutional evolution where the institutions believe that it's their job to tell the president what he can and can't do. And that's something I think we see with the change of state between McMaster and Bolton is, you know, Bolton hasn't done everything right, but he is bringing the institutions into line with the president's vision. Right. And I give him credit for that.
Well, the scary part of this, and the thing that people I think miss, is of the thousand people involved in this web and net, only two of them have been elected by the people. And right. And it's only their opinion that matters. Their core, that you swear and you take an oath to uphold the office, to support the man you are. You know that supporting him doesn't mean being a yes man or a yes woman. Supporting him means carrying out orders that are in the best interests of this country, which is exactly what's been happening. Here's what. By the way, you do know there's a grand jury that has been convened on Andrew McCabe, which mm-hmm. is the. And the Ortex messages, and as you said, Jim Jordan, let me ask you a question, and I need to ask this in a way that presents it so people can understand. And the question is basically, can we handle it? And by that, I mean, if President Trump declassifies what we want, what we need to classify about the FISA process, and we realize what I think you and I both know is going to happen, what's going to be exposed. We're going to see everything the president said since day one become true. All of the illegal wiretaps, the weaponization of our DOJ at multiple levels, the leadership in Comey and McCabe and Strzok and Page and all of them literally trying to create treason. They tried to go after a coup. Can this country handle that? I mean, because the media is done. Right? I mean, the media's already done, but the fact of the matter is they've been as complicit as anybody in this thing. But if these memos come out, there's going to be a point at which the Democrats can't say, well, that's not what it means, and that's not what it says. It's going to mean what it means, say what it says, and it's going to say they tried to overthrow a Democratic election.
At some point, you call the media, the propaganda arm of these, you know, the whatever you call it, the establishment Marxists, whatever you want to call them, the propaganda arm is going to pop like a pimple. My personal opinion is that they already have. I think, you know, the people that you talk to on the street, and I'm talking about, you know, what Bannon calls the hammerheads, the guys who get up every day, guys who listen to you, they drive in the truck, they work at HVAC company, those guys, they know something's wrong. And I have to be honest with you, I have tremendous faith in the American people. I think they can handle anything, okay? I think the media and the elites are going to, you know, they're going to basically have to set themselves on fire. I don't know how they're going to recover from this. And maybe that's what has to happen. You know, the big question that I have that's looming over all of this is, what is the Republican establishment going to do? You know, the Republican establishment has allowed Mueller to go on and on and on.
Right.
You know, they're doing things like, you know, and General Flynn is a great guy. All right. I mean, I'm talking about it as somebody who knows him. He's a great guy, a patriot, sacrificed years of life with his family for this country, years and years, lots of holidays away. And to have Mueller hanging on his sentencing just to keep him silenced. I mean, it's just this is stuff. This is third world tyranny stuff, right? Yeah. And I think the American people can handle it. You know, Gert, I have total faith in the American people, but they have to be provided the information in context. And we're going to have to work. This sounds strange, right? But you have to reach out to the Democrats in your family, the people who are still listening to that stuff, and don't argue with them. You know, coach them, counsel them, and walk them out of the fake reality that they've been living in.
Yeah, I don't excuse me. I don't know any other way to put it, but this is going to absolutely change our country in fundamental ways that go against the Constitution if we don't get our butts out and vote. I don't want to sound confident to and invoke complacency or apathy, but I do believe Newt Gingrich when he says we're going to pick up 4 to 6 seats. I believe that. Not to mention, I continue to listen to a group of people who want to impeach the president for one reason. They just don't like him. That we've watched Mueller do his thing for almost 2 years. He's got nothing. I heard Trey Gowdy a couple months back basically tell everybody, I've interviewed every single witness, all 70, in every possible way, shape, or form. I have not heard one word, one sentence, one letter that would tie President Trump to anything criminal. Yet we still have to listen to and endure this all. But somebody flips. I don't know who it's going to be, Rich, because I know these are all a bunch of cowards. And when push comes to shove, they're not going to take the fall for everybody. It's the reason Clinton is still walking around a free woman, in my opinion, is because she knows too many people and knows too much. But I know you've probably been watching a little bit of the confirmation hearings. Give me your quick impression on what you've watched over the last couple of days.
I think Kavanaugh is a great nominee. I think he's, you know, I mean, we'll use a baseball analogy. I mean, he's hitting 1,000. They haven't got him on anything. And the reality is that I think, you know, I'm kind of an originalist, and I think he understands the intent, and I think he's open to examining the future, and I think he's the type of steady hand you need. Because before this is all over, the Supreme Court's going to be involved. The Fisk Court's going to be looked at. I mean, there's a lot of things that are going to have to be completely looked at, and kind of what the country did to itself in the legal gymnastics we did in the post Cold War era and then after 9/11. You know, we have to kind of get that right now. I think that, you know, you brought up the president. I think a couple of things. I think the media loathes him. I think Democrats fear him because he exposes their underlying Marxist intentions. And I think that the Republicans don't like him because he exposes their complicity. And, in spite of all of that, he's dragging them all down the field with him, right? He's the guy you just can't get out. You know, they don't have a pitch he can't hit.
Yeah, well, this is Bo Jackson going for the end zone with Brian Bosworth hanging on his back is what it is. And then you have the economic report today, 210,000 new jobs, 2.9% wage growth, both exceeding expectations. And I continue to ask Democrats, please point to an actual issue that is, countermanding what's going on. The story the Democrats are telling is not the story that the people are living, and it's just mind-boggling to me.
That's exactly it. I think that, you know, when you look back at what the president was elected to do, he was elected on a couple of key issues. Certainly the economy was one of them. But, you know, he was looking at rule of law. He was looking at, basically bringing back America a sense of herself. I mean, it was transcending even conservative values. It was just returning to core American principles, right? Like the sanctity of the individual as the sovereign. And he just put the fear of God into these statist guys who are just, you know, they just populate this entire city, who believe that the government's the answer for everything. And I think as we go forward here, it's going to be interesting to see if that MAGA movement, you know, bigger than even President Trump, if that MAGA movement is able to maintain its momentum. I hope Newt's right. But like I said, you don't want to be complicit. I mean, the movement has to get out and vote.
Well, let me just ask you, if it comes to fruition and all the things that we believe to be happening happen, and the grand jury finds McCabe guilty, and the grand jury finds other people guilty, and the grand jury finds out that everything, the worst possible beliefs are true, and that all of this stuff has happened, how does the media react?
I think, you know, where they can, they'll ignore. Where they can't, they'll downplay. And my guess is they'll create some sort of a, you know, strategic distraction to keep the people's eyes on, you know, some other target while this kind of burns itself out. That's what they hope. You know, I think that, yeah. You know, what I really hope happened, if the grand, you know, and I don't know anything about what's going on with the grand jury and McCabe and all that, but I hope that this grand jury finds evidence of a conspiracy so sufficient that they can actually, you know, go and justify the creation of a special, you know, a second special counsel to really get into this. You know, my understanding of the Mueller activity is it's basically a rear guard action protecting, you know, the corrupt activities of, you know, multiple individuals across the government and in the private sector with foreign money and so on and so forth, going back perhaps decades. It's the only way I can understand the bipartisan support for what he's doing. You know, when you have, you know, that, I just can't understand how anybody of good conscience can accept that, you know, the way that this thing is rolling out is, you know, American in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. 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 Now, listen, I really, really appreciate you taking time out. Love to have you back, Rich.
All right, Kurt. Hey, you take care, brother. And, hey, I just wanted to tell you from all my buddies in Boston, thanks for 2004. We won't forget.
Hey, thank you, right, man. God bless you for that. Seriously, thank you. Take care of yourself. All right.